Radio, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is actually a wonderful evening, and I hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And I want to thank everyone who came out tonight to the Northwest Side Chicago Mayoral Candidates Forum. Very strange evening for me because I grew up in Jefferson Park. Actually, I grew up in Norwood Park, just north of there, and now I live in Jefferson Park. And I've become friends with a lot of politicians, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and I tend to have a lot of conversations with them about policy, about issues, about what's important to me and to a lot of the things that you talk about. And I was fortunate enough and honored to be asked to moderate this event. There were 10 candidates. I don't know how many people were in the audience, and I was dazzled by the entire thing because I wasn't sure, you know, are people really going to be that motivated to go out on a Tuesday night? It's not that early in the election season. The election day is February 26th. Obviously, if it is a couple months, it seems like it's farther because we just got through this entire campaign during the midterms, and now and then the governor's race. But it was a great audience. So thank you, everyone that came out. Everyone was respectful. There was one person who was concerned at the end that we hadn't covered some other issues, but we spent over an hour and 45 minutes talking to the candidates. And comedian Paul Farivar Esquire joins me, who is going to be hosting on Thursday night.
Yep, I'll be here.
You'll be here. And I was worried that it was going to be a little bit like herding cats. We had curated.
So many candidates.
There were 10, and there were a couple moments where they tried arguing with each other, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is where Patty loses complete control of the stage. But you know what I realized, and I don't know if other moderators do this, because I'm a comic as well, I also read an audience. Right. So I read a room. Broadcasters, journalists, yeah, they tell the story. They're very focused on all the details and the facts. We read rooms. Right.
Well, yeah, there's a difference. What I tell people is you're talking to a crowd versus talking with them, or
right,
instead of talking at them.
Right.
So I think that's where a stand-up comic is, at least. Right. I don't know about all comedians.
And I could see that a couple of the candidates were a little bit frustrated early on. I had laid out what the ground rules were going to be, and you know, that became a little bit, because there were 10, I can't turn everyone's microphone off. So sometimes people would jump in when they had not been invited. I said, you know, we're going to have one question I'll be dedicating to a candidate. So it was not a debate in the sense that every candidate would answer the exact same question. But there were a couple questions that everyone was so passionate about. I said, okay, since so many people have already responded, I'm not going to leave anybody out of this one.
Were there time limits on their answers?
There were time limits.
Was there a buzzer?
There,
like at a light?
Yeah, there was a, it was funny, as a comic, they had this little flashing light, and Gary McCarthy approached the podium real quick to tell me that the candidates couldn't see the flashing light, which you and I know we have problems in certain comedy clubs.
Yeah. Well, but, for people that don't know, is we get a light when we have, whatever, a minute left,
right,
or 2 minutes left. So
exactly,
nod that you saw it,
right,
and you move on.
But this was hard because, and you know what, I kept trying to, in the sense of, you know, talking to your crowd, I kept trying to get Gary McCarthy not to talk to me, because when I would ask him a question, he would talk to me. I wasn't sure
instead
if that was
the crowd.
I kept trying to turn my chin, like, talk to them. Don't talk
pointing
to,
like I'm doing them signs.
I'm not picking anybody on the stage, so you can. I mean, not tonight,
right?
If at all, who knows? I was trying to get him to turn his attention. Plus, you know, the cameras were out there from WGN News was there.
Nice.
And but. So it started out, they had 90 seconds to introduce themselves. Because Sarah, have you ever gone to a forum or debate before for politicians?
I have not. What is it like?
It was, well, I've been to some, and this was, and I've watched a bunch on television. How about like on TV? Have you watched them and gotten frustrated that the candidates are like, you know, filibustering or just...
Like they're talking over each other at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple moments where I felt like that was about to happen, and it did for a few seconds, and they all refrained. What I ended up doing was making eye contact. When I realized a candidate wanted to say something on a particular issue, I would let them know, you know, basically, hey, I'll get to you.
Yeah.
Right. And then if they were worried that I said I would and I got to somebody else first, then I had to say, okay, first Jamal Green, and then we'll go to Tony Preckwinkle, right? So that, but it was,
Ten's a lot.
I kind of really loved it.
Yeah.
And wow. There was a moment where Jamal Green was talking. He's very passionate. And so my job was, if they weren't staying on the topic or answering the question and giving us specifics, was to say, well, how would you do that? Or to give us some specifics, or I'll move on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So Jamal was talking about communities and all these things. And I said, well, how would you do that? And he goes, I just told you how I would do it. I'm like, okay, I don't. Just checking. He said he wanted to get rid of TIFs and put finances back into the communities.
He's 22 years old.
He was very passionate. Yes.
I'm looking him up right now.
Yeah. They were all, I thought they all
wow,
did a
he's younger
very,
than me.
He's barely younger than me.
I'm not going to tell you how much older I am.
But how is he? I thought there's an age limit on the.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I don't think for mayor.
So 18 year olds?
Maybe.
Can be mayor?
Maybe.
I think it's 18 or not.
It might be. I thought all the candidates did a great job. I was really pleased. I hope the audience enjoyed it. We had a great crowd. I think there were 1,000 people there. That's what someone asked me.
1,000 people?
I think there were 1,000 people.
That's awesome.
It was great. Maybe 800, but.
Did you learn anything like that? Do you think people
lock into their answers?
Well, no, I mean, I think, yes. Do you think that people in the audience like were able to at least decipher the differences?
Yeah.
Based on the answers?
Look, I mean, you know, Paul Vallis is a very academic, personality who has, you know, has a lot of experience, and he showed that. Tony Preckwinkle also has a lot of experience and was very focused in her answers, answered issues when asked about, you know, whether it was a soda tax. Gary Chico asked her about that. Susana Mendoza.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of
was very, well, and she, you know, she was very matter of fact about it. She's like, I'm looking for solutions, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought everyone was outstanding. So great job all around. I'm not going to tell you any of my favorites because Amara Enya, I thought was a LaShawn Ford, who I think a lot of people have not heard from as much. He's a representative.
Just so many people.
I know.
I just don't understand. And there's probably going to be a runoff, I bet, right?
There has to be. And I think that, as I mentioned when I introduced all the candidates, I wanted to thank them for stepping forward and saying, I can do the job, because I know it's annoying to have that many people, but you'd rather have more than fewer bad choices. Does that make sense? You'd rather have a variety. You want to hear voice. Well, and it also elevates the conversation. I'm sure that some people were frustrated in the audience that there were so many, but because, to your question about the time limit. So 90 seconds to introduce themselves, and then I would give one question to a dedicated question to a candidate, and then a couple rebuttals after that. So the answer to the question originally is 60 seconds, and rebuttals were 30 seconds. And people did really well with that. You know,
yeah.
Gary McCarthy was very funny when his buzzer went off. He goes, that's it. You know, and some people would try to like trail off with a sentence, but all around, well done, everybody. Congratulations to the Northwest side folks.
There you say, congratulations to our winner.
To our winner. There were no winners. Everybody said, by the way, all the candidates, I believe, said yes to dibs, except for Gary McCarthy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, probably for safety reasons.
I think so. And yeah, he's like, he was great. And then I asked him what restaurant, if they could only eat one more meal in the city of Chicago, what restaurant and what would they order?
Who said Portillo's? Have my vote.
Somebody said Portillo's. No, you know, I think they were all kind of like neighborhood joints. They were neighborhood joints. Someone said Capri's Pizza.
Mm. Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had Capri's.
I've had it once. They're good.
Yeah, they're good.
The whole dibs one with thing, I had to teach one of my friends about that because she just moved into a new apartment in the Belmont Cragen area. And I told her, like, hey, you know, you have free parking over here, but you need to, like, get a chair out for dibs. She was like, no, I don't. I was like, okay, watch. And now that she's learning how scarce parking is, now she's starting to realize, like, okay, I need to go to Dollar Tree and buy a plastic chair or something to hold my spot once I shovel myself out.
Well, and what we do on our block, what Steve does is he shovels ours and a spare. Mm. And to be fair, we actually don't, because we have a handicap spot for Declan right. in the wheelchair. We actually, we have permanent dibs, so we feel kind of bad about that. So, and because we have two cars, we shovel two and two spares.
Wow, that's really nice.
Well, to be fair, I don't actually do it. My husband does.
It's still very nice. It is. It's a family gesture.
He's a good man. That's why I married him.
Very good man.
When I learned that he wanted to do that on our block, I'm like, I made the right choice.
That's beautiful. Paul, would you do that? Would you shovel yourself out?
No, I'm not a good shoveler. Wow. I would probably, I would encourage it, and I'd cheer on and tell him, hey, good job.
So you steal pie from parties, and you don't shovel out other
there
parking
it is.
Spaces.
That's what we should play. Should I take this? We should play. Should I take this later on?
Can
in the
I
show?
Take this? Yeah. Should I take this? Yeah. That's a good. We can play that.
All right. I take a lot of condiments. Do you know what I love? Are the spice packets from Taco Bell?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that though, because they give them out tenfold.
I used to take stevia. Because I love stevia, sure. And it's so healthy, allegedly. But then I bought it online because I needed to fulfill a minimum thing on Amazon to get the free shipping, whatever. I don't have Prime anymore. And I bought this huge box of stevia. So now I have extra stevia. So if anyone wants any, I've got...
It's not healthy. It's just healthier.
It's
healthier. It's not something you take that makes
zero calories.
So it's healthier. That's
right.
Like,
but if you put it's healthy,
you're not getting vitamins.
What else is in it?
I think it's all natural. It's a natural leaf.
But you're not getting like vitamins from it or anything like that.
But instead of four packets of sugar
which
in your coffee and tea a day,
which healthier?
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we're talking about it's not stealing condiments if they offer it in abundance and you take more than is possibly necessary for you, right?
If you're getting a Diet Coke and you take sugars, you're not using the sugar for the Diet Coke.
No. You're taking it
for Corner
later.
Bakery.
Or something else.
Why That's a shout out to the Corner Bakery on Washington Wells that knows that I took the sugar when I just got a Diet Coke.
Okay. Why would you... So why
it's
do you
for your
get,
coffee later?
Why do you get diet? Oh, so you do Diet Coke but sugar in your coffee?
No, yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I used to do that to avoid having a.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Have sugar.
Oh, I'm just trying to get a sense of who you are, Paul. That's all I'm trying to do right
well,
now.
Well, we were all talking about condiments, and I was just confessing that I did that, and now I feel a lot better.
How about you, Kasara? What do you take once in a while? Too much of.
Take napkins for my car.
Oh yeah, I love napkins.
Napkins for my car.
I hate the ones where you can only take one at a time. Doesn't that?
Yeah, you're there forever.
It's just annoying.
I also like the Arby's horsey sauce.
Really?
Oh yeah.
My grandfather loved horseradish sauce.
I love. I like
the Arby's sauce, the barbecue sauce.
Yes.
That I have.
See, good. I never go to Arby's.
Yeah.
There's something in my family. We just don't go to Arby's.
It's
I don't
good,
know.
But it's not as good as you remember.
I haven't been there for a long time. Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Were you at the Copernicus Center tonight?
Yeah, I thought you did a really good job handling an almost impossible situation.
were there a few moments when you thought I might not be able to rein them in?
You did. You were pretty good. I mean, they were all anxious to get some extra answers in.
Yeah. There was a point. There was one candidate. I don't want to say who, but tried circling back. I think they tried like three times, and I was like, "You got one in. Come on."
Yeah.
But I did. So what I did try to do, Jeff, was when there were direct, you know, if someone said something about a certain candidate, I did want to give them an opportunity to, respond to that. So that, I mean, as much as we did have sort of the forum layout, the rules that I tried to establish, I realized along the way, I'm like, well, I have to give somebody, you can't take a pot shot at somebody and not give them a chance to defend themselves. Right, Jeff?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The 30 seconds could be like 45 seconds. That might help somebody complete a thought a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they did a pretty good job of, almost like being on the spot for 30 seconds. You know, I wasn't too rough on them if they went to 30 and said a couple extra things.
No, it was good. It was good. It was, thank goodness the 21 weren't up there.
That's what I'm saying. Then they would have had 10 seconds for their rebuttals. I was. Where? How many people would you say were there? Because it seemed fairly crowded.
It was crowded up front, but in the back it was pretty open. I bet there were 500 people there, 600 people.
Okay, I'll go with. Jeff says 6. I say 1,000. Somewhere in the middle. I'm kidding, Jeff.
Somewhere in the middle.
I couldn't see beyond. Yeah. The lights were so bright on stage. I thought it was more crowded.
Jeff, yeah. Paul Farvar here. Were you able to narrow down your choices to at least 3 based on what you saw?
Actually, I went from, I thought maybe 1 or 2 to like 5.
Whoa. So tell me who surprised you then, Jeff.
I was kind of pretty impressed with Gary Chico, actually.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I know I've talked with Paul Vallis before, and he's a good, he's a smart man. He's a little wonky sometimes, but he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And
the reason I say
a lot of problems can't be explained in 30 seconds.
Yes, yes. He was frustrated with the 30 seconds. But I'm glad that you like Gary Chico, because I was concerned that he felt like he wasn't getting enough, and I kept trying to make sure I got to him as well.
Yeah.
Who else?
I like Sean Ford too, actually.
See, I was mentioning, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little surprising to people because I don't think he's as well known as some of the other folks up there.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you were there. Do you live on the Northwest Side?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I haven't been in that theater since I was a kid, so it was nice to go in there. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I know it was the Gateway, and I think I'd been in there once or twice before, but it's been decades.
There. Well, it was cool. And I'm just glad I did. There was only one guy who yelled out at the end, and I'm glad I did not have to send my mom over to handle him. Because she was on an aisle seat. I know. He did. It was the last question. It was, you know, I mean, come on. Hour and 45. You want me to go back and talk about, you know, the murder rates? I understand that it's important, but it had been in the mix of about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. You did a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a wonderful evening. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. And, let me take a break here. I don't want to be too late. Nessie, I don't even follow my own timer. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke wants to know where all his haters at. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. And on the line is that columnist Rex Hupke, who is challenging his haters to put their, how do you put it? They put their food where their hate is? Wait.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, well, let's go with that.
Wait, put your charity where your hate is. This is all very confusing. Yeah.
Put your money where your email fingers are, or something like that.
you even have followers on Twitter, or at least somebody. Oh no, someone wrote you a letter with your motives, your ulterior motives, to show how much liberals are better than Republicans. Is that your goal in life, Rex?
That's it. Yeah. The funniest part of all this has been the conspiracy theories that it has generated, which I honestly didn't see coming, despite my overwhelming cynicism. But.
So, well, tell us, Rex, how much hate do you get on a daily basis?
Quite a bit, yeah. I mean, it's I will say the positive things outweigh the negative, which is, thank goodness, otherwise I'd crawl under a rock and never come out. But yeah, there's a lot of negativity out there, in case folks haven't noticed, and especially directed at people in the media. And so, you know, there's a good amount of it, and I just sort of, you know, try to roll with it. And, you know, some people have legitimate disagreements with me, and that's fine. Other people get a little bit nasty at times. So
I can imagine, and you've posted some of it before. You can follow Rex Hupke on Twitter, at Rex Hupke, and tell us about this collaboration. I know the Chicago Food Depository is as happy as well.
Yeah, it's kind of far exceeded my expectations, to be honest with you. But I had a thought a couple weeks ago as I was reading one of the 2,000 word screeds that gets fired my way sometimes by people, and I said, you know, I wish I could take some of this negative energy and redirect it a little bit.
Sure.
Maybe, find a way to do something positive with it. So I tossed it around a little bit, and then thought, okay, well, maybe if something.
We're losing you a little bit, Rex. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that.
Walk toward the window.
Yeah, sorry.
There you go.
If if somebody wants to spend all that time, you know, writing a mean email, maybe they'd consider chipping in a few bucks for a good cause. So I talked to the folks at the Chicago Food Depository, which I've written about in the past. You know, they do a pretty amazing job of getting food to food pantries all over Cook County. And, you know, they're kind of a neutral organization, I thought, something that people couldn't get too angry about. So anyway, so they set up basically a virtual food drive, is what they call it. And it's just a website. And people can donate money, and they can put it either under the team name Rex Stinks or Rex Rocks. And I said, you know, okay, let's let the market decide.
And
where I sit.
What does the market say?
Well, to my great surprise, it's been kind of overwhelming in favor of me, which is quite delightful. But and at the end of the day, though, what's happened, and like I said, I went into this thinking, well, you know, maybe we'll raise a couple thousand bucks or something like that. We're now almost to $38,000. Raised in this food drive.
Congratulations.
And, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
really
a whole lot of meals.
It is, yeah. That translates to, according to the Food Depository's math, it's roughly 113,000 meals, which is just, like, amazing. I mean, and I've been so overwhelmed by people's generosity, and it's just turned into such a cool thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, if people will like me or don't like me, I don't really care. It's all going to a good place. And so, yeah, it's been, you know, end of the year, kind of nice little dose of positivity, which has really been great. And I'm very appreciative of all the people out there who've taken the time to, you know, chip in and spent the money to, you know, send a donation towards the Food Depository. It's just been a really cool thing.
I love the surprise that you're encountering because, you know, for the most part, people who are negative will, you know, go to their keyboards or write you a letter. People who like what you do, they click like, or they're like, oh, that was a good, they're not necessarily going to send you something, right? Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for them to express that, which is very wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's been nice. I like I said, when I started it, I didn't know. You know, I said this could be a total flop. I could embarrass myself more than I usually do. But you know, let's see what happens. And you kind of roll the dice. And what I found, though, in a lot of different things over the years, you know, you write about a family that's having trouble or somebody's house burned down right near the holidays and they need help. And a lot of times when you shine a light on something, people tend to rush in and do something good. And that's what happened here. And so it was really, I didn't realize it was going to happen quite to this degree, but it's been fantastic. And you know, it's just great to see people wanting to help other people. And I just can't, nothing wrong with that. So.
Rex, Paul Farver here. We're getting text from people from the 815. I love, love, love Rex's last column, and many, many are extremely pertinent, intelligently written, and LOL. Rex definitely rocks. So that's one of your haters,
Mom.
Right here. Yeah.
I told her not to text.
Yeah. Oh, it is signed Mom, yeah.
Oh
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, I'm
Rex's
just kidding.
Mom.
And in addition to donating the money, you also, you know, to showing who is more charitable, whether it's your haters or your fans. What was the other component of this that you would write a column to either winning team?
Yeah, I said, you know, if the Rex Stinks people win, then I'll write a column just eviscerating myself and going into great detail about how loathsome and awful I am. And then, of course, if the Rex Rocks people win, I'll write a column discussing how wonderful I am, which I'm sure would make the Rex Stinks people even angrier. So.
Wow.
Win-win.
I love it. Well, let's
win-win.
Yeah. Where can people donate some more? Whether they love you or hate you, where do they send that for the food?
They
Chicago
can,
food Press?
Yeah, they can go to the website is myfooddrive.org/# Rex, R-E-X. You can also go to the Greater Chicago Food Depository website, and they have a thing called Find a Food Drive, and you can find it there. And I'll also, as soon as we are done here, I'll tweet it out on my Twitter account, which is just at Rex Hupke, R-E-X-H-U-P-P-K-E. I'll send it out on Twitter also just so people can see it. But the main website is myfooddrive.org/#Rex. And
we're not done with you. We're going to give people another chance to get all that information too, because I'm going to take a break, and I want to find out if you happen to know which has been your most hated column, if you keep track of that kind of thing. We're talking to Rex Hupke from the Chicago Tribune, columnist, who is asking haters to put their hate where their, wait, put their charity where their hate is. That's it. I'll find it, Rex. Yes?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there. More in a moment. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm 720 WGN. Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke has invited all of his haters to put their hate where, to put their charity where their hate is. I'm going to get it, Rex. I swear, one of these times I'll get it.
It's coming. You can feel it.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you what's your most hated column, but I mean, what happens when you write a column like the one you did for Thanksgiving about your dad and the tattoo? What kind of reaction do you get?
Nice. Yeah. I mean, you know, you write about something non-political, something relatable like that, and it tends to be very nice. I'll even get emails from people who don't generally like what I write, and you know, they'll say nice things, which is kind of part of what's interesting about this, honestly. That, you know, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, it's almost like this is a game to them sometimes. You know, like right. you become, and I'm sure you, I mean, I would guess you see this sort of thing too. I mean, you know, you become sort of a person in their lives, and they, you know, they want to spar with you almost. And, but then at the same time, you know, you do something that shows, you know, a little more openness, a little more humanity or something like that. And they respond to that also. So, no, it's interesting. I mean, I've had a couple people on this food drive thing who've emailed and said, you know, they hate everything I write, but they donated, and they actually donated under the Rex Rocks team just because, you know, they support me even though they disagree with me. So, you know, it's kind of nice in some ways. I mean, then you've got some people who are just, you know, the cheese is slid off their cracker and they're a little nutso, but there's a lot of good people out there, and sometimes they say things, they get caught in the heat of the moment and they say some unkind stuff, but they aren't necessarily all bad people per se. It's just a mixed bag, you know.
Do you ever get into a contest with Eric Zorn or any of the other columnists at the Tribune to see who gets more hate?
No, I think we all get our fair share, to be totally honest with you.
You don't want to stack it up, yeah.
And you know, the thing too is, I mean, you look at Heidi Stevens, Darlene Glanton. I mean, the sort of hate mail that female columnists receive compared to what I receive and other male columnists, you know, it's a whole different ball of wax. It you know, can get really horrible and, you know, incredibly sexist. And there's, you name it. I mean, it's just remarkable how low people go with you know, what they see fit to email.
And I know that I have you on loan from Amy Guth, and I'm grateful for that because yes, she talks a lot about. I mean, she's very vocal about it. You both are. You're very vocal about saying, hey, you know, you sort of shine the light on these folks. I've done it once or twice when I get a handwritten letter, and for the most part, I chuck it just because it's like, you know, I'm not as good at letting it roll off. You know, necessarily, or finding the humor. I used to, but then, you know, I my husband always told me, like, Paul and I both do stand-up comedy, and my husband would always tell me, why is it you always remember the one person who says something negative and not the 100 people that walked by you and told you how much they love the show? So I try to remember that kind of stuff. But I also...
Yeah, that's so true.
It is, but I also, there is something to, I mean, it also must help you generate, you know, it's also, some people are very good creatively when it comes to that. Does that sort of have an impact on you?
Does, you mean
the negativity, do you kind of like, do you ever think, wait till they see this one?
So Sometimes I say it that way. Sometimes I say it with more of a sense of dread, I guess.
Oh, no.
I know the storm that's going to come, depending on what I write. I never go, and it's something, especially in the online world that we're in now, and the speed of the news cycle and that sort of thing, I don't try to think about what I'm writing in terms of, you know, is this going to really stir people up in a negative way or, you know, something like that. And you have to kind of catch yourself sometimes because it's easy to, it's like when you're about to send a tweet, you're like, oh, this is going to really, you know, catch people's attention because it's kind of, you're making a funny, but, you know, sort of controversial remark. You know, when I'm doing a column, I don't want to be motivated by that. You know, I don't want to write something simply to, you know, to poke people necessarily.
Sure.
So it's kind of like a balancing act sometimes because sure, there's that inclination, you know, when you're, and I'm sure, you know, it's the same in comedy. I mean, when I'm writing something, it's like that, there's that line where it's funny right up until this line. And if you go over that line, now you've lost people because you went from being funny to being mean, or, you know, to being a little over the top or inappropriate somehow. So, it's a matter of trying to strike that balance where you can hopefully, you know, make some good jokes and write something amusing while not completely alienating everybody.
No kidding.
And just making them angry at you.
Right, angry, but that one person who had the conspiracy theory that you just wanted to show that liberals would donate more so that they read you because they believe in the keep your friends close but keep your enemies closer.
Yeah, that was really strange. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I wasn't the only one. I've gotten a number now of emails from people who say, well, the food depository must be some, you know, democratic controlled operation.
What?
And I always thought that. Yeah. Yes, trying to feed people is purely a democratic idea. And, you know, just all kinds of, you name it. I mean, just the people are saying that I'm rigging the numbers and, you know, this, that, the other thing. It's just been really funny. I've not been at the heart of a conspiracy theory before, so it's kind of exciting.
I don't think I have either. We're talking to Rex Hufte, who's the columnist from the Chicago Tribune, and he has challenged everyone to the Insult a Columnist holiday food drive that has brought in, how much did you say, over 38,000?
Yeah, we're creeping up towards 38,000. Yeah, it runs through this Friday, December 14th. So we're getting up towards the end, but it's gone way past anything I'd ever imagined it would. So it's really been really nice.
How far behind are the haters?
Oh God, it's not even close. Oh. I think it's sad. I wrote a second column about it, just kind of, you know, begging them to
egg
do something.
Them on.
Let
them know that you should let them know the stats, and then they might. Giving them the exact. Be like, well, you guys are 22,000.
He's got a chart.
Yeah.
There is the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Right now it's 1,600 roughly from the haters and 36,000 from the positive folks. So, you know, just it's a good old fashioned butt whooping here. I'm almost embarrassed for myself.
For your haters, yeah.
For all the haters out there. All right, Rex, this is such a great idea, and I want to find out maybe on Friday night or next week what the results are, and I want to congratulate you on such a great idea, and I want to thank both the haters and the Rex Rocks team. Tell people again where they can donate.
It is it's myfooddrive.org and hashtag REX, Rex, just #Rex at the end of it. And every bit of it's going right to the Greater Chicago Food Depository, which is a really great
Democratic
great organization.
Convention.
Yes, exactly. Right. Now they are very, they do amazing things. I've been out to they have this massive warehouse they distribute food all over Cook County, and it's just a really cool thing. So, and I'm so grateful to everybody already who's chipped in on this, and it's fantastic. It's really exciting.
Congratulations. We got to run. Everyone go. He's using his powers for good. Find Rex Hupke on Twitter and read his columns. Bye, Rex.
All right. Have thanks a good so night. Much for having me on, Patty. Appreciate
of
it.
Of course. More after this on 720 WGN. know sometimes you're at a fast food restaurant and you're standing there in front of all the condiments. They're all in those packets that are just so easy to slip in your pocket. You're like, I'm going to like this later. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this horsey sauce on something else later. I like the horsey sauce, Paul. I really do.
You know, the one thing I will say, there's the burrito place Allende by my house, which is amazing. There's two of them. And their hot sauce is amazing. So right. They used to give extra containers of it, and I would put it on everything. They have like this weird, it's just an amazing, I don't know what ingredient it is, but it's amazing and addictive.
Addictive, yeah.
But they stopped doing that.
So. Oh, no.
That's fine. It was really spicy, though, too. Oh, so
cleared your sinuses out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, the top of your head would sweat.
Oh, dear. I like sriracha. Like, packets of sriracha?
I'm not a sriracha
I'm
guy.
A sriracha girl. I like all that stuff.
Okay.
Now, David, do you ever perhaps grab a packet or more on your way out of a restaurant?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
All right. See, we...
There are only two times when you will see me go a little bit overboard on anything in the condiment category.
Okay.
One is if I'm having pasta, I love grated cheese.
Okay.
I will empty out the jar at the table.
Okay.
Or I will take a whole bunch of extra packets because, as far as I'm concerned, the packets don't have enough in them.
No, they're like a pinch.
Tiny, yeah.
It's a pinch.
And it's a pain in the neck to get it to come out.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Yes. I don't want to fight with it.
You're right, because it clings to the side of the little packet.
Yeah.
You can't get it all out of there.
And the other thing is, I don't know about what you guys do with pancakes. One, I love real maple syrup. I refuse to do anything other than real maple syrup. And the other thing is, I like sour cream with my pancakes.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let that hang there in the air for a moment. Kisara, is this something?
No, that's nasty.
Yeah.
We have to address that.
I'm going to have to.
It's all a matter of, don't knock it till you try it.
Don't get me wrong. I love sour cream on my potato pancakes. Oh, and the applesauce. Whenever they say.
Real pancakes with maple syrup.
Syrup is amazing. You need as much syrup as you can.
You just get a little bit of it on the fork, okay. And then you stick it into the piece of the three pancakes you get out on the short stack, and then you run with it.
Okay.
All right, but then that's where I will go, yeah, give me extra sour cream.
All right.
Do they look at you funny? Like, they're like, wait, it's pancakes.
Sometimes not, but I really don't care. It's like,
sure.
It's my meal. I'm paying
absolutely.
For it. Don't you dare look down at me.
Yeah, no. That would
besides,
not be
I'm taller than most of you anyway.
There you go.
So
if you like it, I love it.
That's right.
Oh, wow, Sarah's doubling down on it. If you like it, I love it.
He's a very, like... Yeah, I wouldn't test him twice. Yeah, no. I'm going to let him have his sour cream.
I'm not going to yuck your yum, okay? Whatever you like,
yeah,
go for it.
Whatever floats your boat, gets you up the stream, all that good stuff.
Do you guys put the Parmesan cheese on the when you get pizza slices and they have that shaker?
Not really.
Yes.
Nah,
yeah,
not really.
I don't understand that.
Kisara,
I don't do it.
Yeah,
there's enough cheese already? Well... For me, there's enough cheese
depends.
Already.
That makes sense.
Okay.
You know what I'll have once in a while? I like French. French dressing on my pizza sometimes. Oh yeah.
Kind of Caligula stuff going on here. What's going on?
Very different taste buds that are going on right now.
French. I mean, French dressing.
A friend of mine
on pizza
and Monocle's
ranch
particular
dressing maybe.
Do you remember ranch? Ranch.
Ranch like on everything is good.
Okay. Blue cheese, maybe.
No.
Blue cheese?
Oh, blue cheese. Blue cheese is great as a little bit of a topping when you're broiling a steak.
Oh, yes.
And you put a little bit on the top before you just finish it in the broiler. No. Yeah.
That's
I think that...
I also like steak medium well, so that makes me weird.
That's all right. I mean,
I go rare.
I love my steak medium well.
Rare steak.
I don't want...
Bloody?
I don't want my steak... pretending that it's going to get up and move.
Fair.
Okay?
That is a very, very good point.
Well, we lost our vegan friends online right now.
Yeah, they're gone.
I haven't eaten a steak in a long time, but I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian. I just don't eat as much meat as I used to.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I do like weird things. I like, you know, whether it's... I'm one of those folks that does like French fries dipped in my chocolate shake.
I mean, but who doesn't?
Patty?
Like Wendy's?
Apparently Paul. Yes.
Patty?
Yes. David? Yes.
Does the word intervention mean anything?
Intervention?
To you?
No, because Sarah says she likes it in her frosty.
I do it too.
Yeah.
No.
Like you go to Wendy's, you get a fry and a frosty.
Oh, yeah.
Dip it in.
Yeah.
Those are sweet and sour, or sweet and savory, I like to keep separate.
Salt.
Why?
Yeah. Salty sweet.
It's like, no.
There's like bacon wrapped chocolate. Like, this is definitely.
No, bacon wrapped chocolate is one thing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That works by itself. when you start dipping your French fries into a chocolate thingy, that's like
into a chocolate shake or like a vanilla cup of ice cream. Yes, this not is a fan.
I'm not going to Wendy's with you. Okay,
fine.
I'm
that's
sorry.
That's fine. I'll go get my 4 for $4 by myself.
I know
that
I'm,
is okay.
I know.
She
I'm stopping.
Just told me. All right.
You know what's good at Arby's too is the potato cakes there with their Arby's sauce.
Oh, I'll have to try that.
That's something that everyone can.
You know,
agree
I bet
on.
You would be good on that sour cream and maple syrup. More after this on 720 WGN. Already have your New Year's Eve plans. I'll be performing at the Kenosha Comedy Club, and that's how I spend most of my New Year's Eve.
We're not going to be together this
I'm
year.
I'm sorry. That was so much fun at the Filament Theater. We'll figure out a way to do another event there, I promise.
I have to do two shows at two different cities, and I got 45 minutes to make it in between both.
What cities?
So if someone goes over their time, I'm not going to
You're in trouble.
Yeah. I'm going to be at Gaselsimo's in Lamont. For their New Year's Eve party, then I'm hosting the Laugh Factory's last show of 2018.
Hey, yeah. That's
wow,
great.
That's beautiful.
Back to back shows.
Because yeah. Sarah, are you spinning on? Am I using the right term?
Yeah, spinning. Okay. Yeah, you're good. Okay. I'm at Soho House this year.
Nice.
What?
Yes,
that's gonna be so fun.
I'm very excited to be back at Soho because I was there last year too for New Year's.
That's great.
That's a fun party. I heard too.
They definitely go all
doing.
Out.
Yeah.
Most extravagant party I've ever been to in my life for sure.
Holy cow. Have you worked pretty much in your entire career mostly on New Year's Eve?
No. Actually, really? Last year was my first time ever DJing on New Year's.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's really hard to get booked out here because so many hotels will fly DJs out from other countries
really?
Instead of just going to what's already here in the city. Yeah.
There's so many good DJs here already.
Right.
Yourself included.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is Jumpin' Julian Perez still highly regarded?
Very much so. Actually, he's like one of my idols. I love him.
He went to Lane Tech.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I met his cousin the other day at my mom's store, and I was very humbled. Like, wow, you have the same blood in you as Julian Jumpin'
That's
Perez.
How much you like. There you go.
I love his work. I'm a major fan.
Oh,
I like DJ Jazzy Jeff myself.
I mean, yes, him sure. Of course,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're busy on New Year's Eve, we're not going to be able to rent an entire hotel for $35,000.
Yes. Who says we can't?
I know. Well, you got to aim
What's the
high.
Point if we can't go there? Although we can go make it the after party.
I mean, yeah. First party of 2019.
You can throw a bash for 65 guests. It includes dinner, cocktails, champagne, toast, and then all the revelers can stay in the 21-room hotel.
If you look at it that if it's 60, if you divide it up,
you could buy a BMW for the same price.
Wow.
For one night of stay. Well, but I mean, I guess
two
you have
Cadillacs.
Okay, so let's say how many people did I say? 61 people?
Yeah.
65 guests.
I'm doing the math.
Doing the math. So $35,000 divided by 65.
$538 a person.
That is not correct.
Hold on.
Maybe $5,380.
$538.
That is not 500.
That's right.
65 times 500.
35. Listen, my iPhone is correct.
Let me make sure.
Yeah, can you make sure?
You said 35,000, right?
Yeah.
65 revelers.
Divided by 65 people.
Yeah.
$538.46.
I rest my
Why
case.
Is my brain not?
I know. I was.
That.
I thought it was. So technically, if they make it 120 people, it's actually a good deal.
Well, I don't. They're saying capacity though is 65 guests.
Yeah, but you can negotiate with them, and I bet that's their asking price. So if you made a deal, it's really not that bad.
You're right. $600 a person.
Then you'd have to hire a DJ. Mm-hmm. The DJ's not included.
Well, they don't. Have, it sounds like it's all inclusive. It doesn't include the DJ.
It doesn't say anything about. I'm reading it.
Dinner, cocktails, and champagne toast. You're right. There's no DJ.
I like that they say it's a year of tuition at University of Illinois Law School, my alma mater.
Oh,
it is.
Roughly $530 a person. All
that's
right.
A year
fine.
Of tuition plus room and board at Columbia, my alma mater.
But when I went to law school there, it could have been all 3 years of tuition. So that's how old I am.
I'm gonna live in the area where my math is so bad that did not make any sense to me. But I'm okay with it.
So theoretically, if we were to let's say that this was in the newspaper today, right, Patty?
Mm-hmm.
So if we talk them to the Wheelhouse Hotel and we negotiate with them to down to 22,000, and they allow us to have 100 people, and they include DJ services,
Right.
It's not a bad deal. It's $220.
Yeah, I don't see.
And you have a hotel, too.
I don't see them negotiating that down.
Yeah, I highly doubt that. Right. They're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to leave it empty? They're going to take the money.
I mean, if you have to move a party around and see what other offers they can get.
I bet you if we do a GoFundMe now, we can bid on this thing and see what we can get for the Wheelhouse Hotel party.
And then who are we going to invite? It's very late planning.
Yeah, this is very late planning. You have to have enough people.
Well, we can cover the cost.
Can you Craigslist this? What are you going to do?
No, you want to invite people that you want to be there.
Like Eventbrite?
Oh, you're doing Eventbrite?
Here's an idea I have.
Okay.
Since we're all working on New Year's Eve, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that we're friends with are probably working on New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
Why don't we ask
Actually,
them?
They're not. All my friends are just trying to come along with me.
Are they really? To Soho, yeah, sure. They are.
Okay. Well, my friends are all in the music and comedy business, so we don't get to really party on New Year's Eve. What if we say we will take the hotel for January 1st at a discounted rate of $1,000.
And when do we check in on the first? Mm-hmm. Like at 12:30 a.m.
That's actually a really good idea. I like that better.
And then it's only going to cost us $10 a piece, and we'll just have 10 people, and we'll just use half the hotel.
Well, how about you go pitch this idea and you put down the deposit, and then let me know.
No, we all have to split the deposit here.
Right, I'll cash app you might have when you get a deal.
I'll Venmo you.
You're going to have money from your Soho. I'm going to have money from my comedy shows. Patty, you're going to have money from your comedy shows. We each put $33 in.
Okay.
That's $99.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of us has, I'll put $34. How's that?
That's fine. Thank you so much.
And now we'll put the deposit and see what they say.
Outstanding.
I'm going to email
Fantastic
them right now.
Fantastic
idea. I like it.
Dear, all right. They were supposed to bring out how many people, sir, for the full party?
Well, it's our room. We can do whatever we want.
That's right.
We're going to pay the $1,000.
Right.
We only need it for, and we'll just, we don't even need the whole day. We'll just do it.
Just a few hours.
Yes. That's all we need. We're going to borrow it. I'm not going to use it.
Yeah. Just loan it to us.
I bet you no one's going to take this.
While you're doing the math, because is anyone requesting that you play something like Baby It's Cold Outside? Because it seems like that, I don't know why the controversy is back this year.
No, actually, you know what? No one's even been asking me to play Christmas music at all.
What? They're not in the mood?
I've had no request to play any holiday music during any of my sets.
And that's not common, is it, at the holidays?
It's different.
That's weird.
It's very different. I DJed a holiday party last week and I played one holiday song and no one really cared.
Wow.
And I played a good one. I played Wham. No one cared.
Wow.
I was insulted.
What Wham song?
Christmas? Last Christmas.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I know that one.
That's my favorite Christmas
last
song.
This
Christmas.
No, I was going to ask you, that's which Beatles, I don't know if it was when they were the Beatles, but John Lennon or Paul McCartney Christmas song do you like? I was asked this one.
That's a sad song.
Oh. One of them is. One? Yeah, one of them is. And are they both
Merry
sad?
Christmas, yeah. Or Happy Christmas, it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Baby It's Cold Outside was banned by a Cleveland radio station, but here's the thing.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
But the streaming numbers are up and purchase numbers are up. It's actually gaining in sales, and probably because people are like, what's the big deal? So Paul, have you heard there's a family, the Halperson family, they do some parody songs. So they have created something because there's a lot of controversy saying it's kind of in the Me Too moment. Baby, It's Cold Outside is not appropriate. So the Halpersons have given an update to the song. Let's hear a little bit of that.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So
but I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right now.
We'll be pacing the floor.
Here's the code and there is the
so
door.
Really, I'd better scurry.
I am gonna stand over
now
here.
Maybe just a half a drink
you
more.
You are in control of this
the
thing. Invite them over if you like.
Say, what's in this drink?
Nothing but Sprite.
I wish I knew how.
Just walk right out the door.
To break the spell.
I do know how to spell harassment.
No,
I hear you loud and
at
clear.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
I'm trying super
I really
hard.
Can't stay.
Please just go out, baby. Just go outside.
That's the Halpersons family on YouTube. You can follow them on Instagram too. They've got a lot of parody songs. And there are a couple that that are fun. This is my favorite one I've seen so far.
I like it. I saw it this morning on Facebook when I first woke up.
Yeah, There you go. Paula covers all the bases. Go ahead. He's like, just go. The video is funny, too, because it's some of that sort of old fashioning.
Yeah, for sure.
He's got great
faces.
Really
good job on this.
I thought so, too. It's one of the better ones that they've done. But they do, they got budget for their YouTube videos. I always wonder.
They did like Justin Bieber and everything.
Yeah, they did Meghan Trainor. I'm all about that bacon.
I need to watch more of these videos. They look really good.
Halpersons,
yeah. Sounds like a very Minnesotan family. Let's take a break here. I think we're actually going to check in with Representative Robert Martwick when we come back after the news, who was the organizer and put together the mayoral candidates forum on the Northwest side. And I want to find out what everyone thought afterwards, because I had to take off and come to the station. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Earlier tonight at the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park, 10 candidates took the stage for the Northwest Side Chicago Mayoral Candidates Forum. It was the 38th Ward Democrats that put it together, and Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District, the Rootin' Tootin' 19th. You're listening to the WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is comedian Paul Farver. Rep, Paul could not believe that I was able to wrangle 10 people, 10 candidates. I will be honest with you. There was a moment where I'm like, this is where it falls apart.
I remember that moment.
Yeah.
Patty, can I tell you, in the aftermath of the event, a lot of people milling around and talking, and the consensus was that you were awesome.
Oh, that's very kind.
People were so impressed by your ability to deal with, you know, I mean, let's be honest, it's no shrinking violets that are running for mayor of the city of Chicago. So you're dealing with 10 very large egos, people who've been a long time, they have a lot to say, don't want to be cut off. And what the consistent theme that kept coming up was that that you handle it so well, that you were able to keep the debate moving forward without, you know, being too militant about cutting people off. You held them to their time limits, but you did in a way that made sure that everyone got a chance to speak in, and everyone just really loved the event. So thank you so much for moderating for us.
And it really turned out well. It was a great audience. That was something that I didn't know what to expect from the candidates, from myself, because I've never done this before. I mean, it's one thing to have, I mean, what have we had at the most in studio? Maybe 4 politicians, I think, in studio at one time. I think with you,
I've been here when there's been 22 clarinets. So
that's true. You have.
I think that's pretty difficult.
That was very difficult. This was there was a moment, Rep, where President Preckwinkle was like, "I need to know the rules." And I'm like, "Yeah, they're getting away from me." I'll be honest with you. But what I was doing, Rep, was I was adjusting for. I felt like it was moving at a good enough pace that I was able to accommodate more than what we thought we might be doing for rebuttals, if that makes sense.
I agree with you, and people may have thought to themselves that they had more to say, but that's the idea. When you have 10 people running, we had a meaningful discussion with 10 candidates, and everyone had an opportunity to weigh in. And I mean, I could go down the line and think of each candidate and talk about that moment where they shined, where, you know, that I can remember the things that they said about different issues, because really everyone had a chance to weigh in, and I thought it was a great event.
It really was. And what a beautiful place to do an event like that too. I thought, by the way, I want to know, is that Facebook Live video still available? Is that something that people can go back and watch?
Absolutely. If you go to the 38th Ward Democrats page, it's posted there. You can watch the full event. There is a pre-event. There's a post with a pre-event sort of discussion between Alderman John Arena, Representative Jaime Andrade, and myself, just talking about the forum coming up. And then, of course, the entire forum is there, including our little post chat about how the forum went. So, it's all there.
Because, Paul, in my life, nothing can be done easy. There was a moment where I said, "So who has the script?" none of us had the script. I thought before I left, I'm like, we talked about it last. I think they're, but I also live so close that I told Rep, I'm like, I'll just run home and print it back up. But in the meantime, Representative, we made a few changes since we were like, okay, well, if we still haven't printed it yet, let's make a couple changes. Only I copied and pasted what I had planned to say. And so it was like 6 pages long instead of the single sheet. And it was all like, and it was also out of order. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is how I go down. I'm not going to make any sense.
Well, no, it all went quite well. I mean, I was just pleased. It really was. It was a great event. And it was, really spirited. It was great to see a lot of candidates really weigh in very passionately and emotionally on some of these important issues that affect the city of Chicago, whether it was education or gun crime or, reinvestment in neighborhoods, TIFs. It was really great. And like I say, I encourage your listeners to go and check out that Facebook Live video because I thought there was just really a great back and forth. After the interesting things after the forum, Gary McCarthy came up to me and said, I followed the rules. The police officer, of course, was like,
yeah,
the moment
he
that
did.
The bell
yep.
sounded,
always.
He stopped.
Yes.
He didn't care if he was finished with a sentence or not. He stopped, he obeyed the bell, and you could tell he was getting really frustrated at the people who would talk beyond the bell. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, really some great, great points. I mean, I think some people really made some good points.
And he did as well. And I tried to make sure that, I don't know how to put this. I wanted to make sure everyone felt taken care of, too, because I could sense that there were a few people getting a little bit frustrated. But I was telling Paul earlier, Paul's also a comedian. Have you guys met Representative?
Yeah, of course.
Paul?
Last
year.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
That's right.
Sadly, we're not doing that again this year, but we will have another. Mm-hmm. We shall have another filament event.
Yes.
But I was telling him, as a comic, we also tend to try to read the room, and that's what I tried to make sure when I would see people sort of, wanting to say something, and it was weird. I started organizing it, and now I really want to do this again. That was a lot of fun.
Right. No, it really was a lot of fun, and I think about the it get down the line of the candidates, and it's really interesting because I thought every candidate really lived up to the hype, right?
Yes.
Or whatever it is that you think of that candidate, I think that you saw that. Jamal Green, who is this young activist born and raised in Inglewood, and he was as promised. You got to see his perspective as a young person in Inglewood who's lost friends to gun violence. He's seen them die in front of him, and you could really see that perspective, and it really came through in some great questions. On the other end, I'm thinking of the two ends of the table. At the other end, we had Paul Vallis, the policy wonk with his manila folder full of his papers and research and his scribbly notes, and he was, dialing down into the policy. And then there, dead center in the middle of the field of candidates, was Tony Preckwinkle, ever the steady hand guiding government, right? Just knows what needs to be done and just very matter-of-fact about the conditions and what needs to be done. I thought it was fascinating because everyone really... It was like their true colors
yes.
shone through in that event, and that was really a good thing for people to see.
Yeah,
that.
She was very precise. I would say that the way she would approach things, and Susana Mendoza, who I thought, they're all very passionate, and she had, and her moments. It was funny when Gary McCarthy was doing his introductory remarks, and he went past. He got to 90 seconds, and the bell went off, and he just stopped in the middle of a sentence. I'm done.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
and I give him credit for that.
Yeah, and the only candidate who said he's against dibs, but it makes sense as law enforcement. You would think that he wants to keep the streets safe.
And that's what I mean. Like, if you looked at every answer that he had, there's no doubt, there are certain things that I think all the candidates said that might have surprised you. With Gary McCarthy, there's no doubt, his big belief in recreational marijuana being legalized. And, But the things that he said, the way that he talked about crime and education, made it clear that his experiences are very different than Jamal Green's experience, right? Jamal Green is a kid in Inglewood who was dealing with crime and dealing with the way the police department was run, and you could tell that Gary McCarthy was on the other side of that equation. Right?
But didn't they have a lot of alignment on a lot of issues because of that? Because they both actually experienced what a lot of people maybe didn't.
No, I think it was. Actually Paul, very different. And a very different perspective, right? You know, here Gary McCarthy is this, you know, tough as nails cop brought to clean up the crime rate in the city of Chicago, and Jamal Green is a kid from Englewood, and you know, like I said, I think that there were many confrontations that they were both a part of, but they were looking at them through very different perspectives, right. And that I think that came through in the debate. You know, you know, Gary McCarthy said very. It sticks with me as he was talking about crime, and he's like, "Yeah, let's get rid of low level drug offenders." But he said, "I think he said, I want the jails full of violent offenders. I want it bursting full of violent offenders." And I was like, "Wow, that sounds like a police officer, you know." And Jamal Green was like, "Oh, why don't we fix them before they become violent offenders?" And you know, so it was interesting. And again, and you saw a lot of that. I keep talking to him. But you heard that from Lori Lightfoot, Amar Enya, Tony Preckwinkel. And so I think the minority candidates, you heard that experience growing up as minorities and seeing maybe the root causes of what causes people to turn to violence, right? Yeah. And so that was their focus, where his focus is, hey, my job is to come and lock these people up, and that's what I do. So, and again, I don't want to just characterize him as that, but it was clear that he was the police officer,
right?
On the panel, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so. They all did a great job, and congratulations. I'll ask you all, sure. The three of you, and David's not at his microphone. The same last question I asked them: if it was your last meal in Chicago, where would you go, and what would you eat? I'm going to start with, let's see, I'm guessing since you helped me with the script, Representative, I'll go with you first.
Oh, really? Okay, I get to start with this.
Yeah.
It would be a bone-in ribeye at Jean Georgette.
Nice. All right, Kassara?
And with extra breadsticks.
Yeah, why not? It's time. Kassara, what do you got?
I think I would go with Giordano's.
Oh, nice.
Deep dish pizza.
I was surprised no one went with the deep dish. I know that Tony Preckwinkel went with the Capri pizza.
Yeah, for sure.
Paul?
Portillo's beef and cheddar croissant with a cheeseburger, large fries, and a chocolate cake shake.
Get it off.
Oh, now that's a last meal right there.
That's one way to go all out, okay?
And, that's right.
And for both nostalgia and because I love it, someone messaged me and they were like, I can't believe no one said slab of ribs from the Gale Street Inn. I would have it with a Sazerac. And one of their salads with some blue cheese dressing and, you know, the baked potato, sour cream.
Wow, you guys went all out. Like my answer wasn't even good enough. Wow.
Yours is good. It's all good. Giordano's? Come on.
And how about that question in the lightning round, of course? And again, just for contrast, again,
Amara
Enya saying, I'm going to go to a vegan restaurant and eat barbecued cauliflower. And Gary McCarthy goes, Gibson's New York Strip, you know, with that accent. I was like, you're running for the mayor of the city of Chicago, right? Yeah. No, it was great.
It was great.
It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Yeah, I thought a lot. And by the way, I agree. I also thought LaShawn, someone called earlier, Jeff, our listener, said that they thought LaShawn Ford really was remarkable tonight as well. I thought they all did a great job.
Oh, my God. Everybody really had, like you said, you know, I think that because of the challenge of the format, 60-second answer, 30-second response, and we were really with that bell.
Yep.
You could see that there was frustration, but once they got in the groove and they knew what the timing was like, I thought everyone had really great moments. Like everybody up and down the line had really great moments.
Yeah. As soon as you can narrow it down, focus, you know, everyone's not going on and on. Oh, my, you know, some of those, I'm not going to say who, but some of them could have gone on and on, but we can't. I got
some of them did go on and on.
I know. And I was like, okay.
And we won't mention who that was, Paul Vallis.
There are a couple, but he's such a nice man. The pain in his eyes, he wanted to answer everything. I was like, I can't. All right.
Well, as a guy who loves policy, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, we have a lot to say sometimes. You know?
Fair enough. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll catch up and regroup. Thank you so much, sir.
Patty, thanks so much for doing the forum tonight. Thanks for hosting. You were really everything I would have hoped for in a host. I thought you were just immensely fair to all the candidates, and you really did a great job, and the audience loved you, so congratulations.
You made my mom super proud, and it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yep. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. Really, my mom is still glowing from the pride. I did a good thing.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
You know what my something good is? I saw Esmeralda tonight and her boyfriend V. They were at the Mayoral Forum. Like, there's something about Esmeralda that just makes me. I was like, oh, there's Ez. I miss her. So she was. It was great to see her at the Mayoral candidate. And my friend Heather, who was also there, and a grade school friend of mine showed up. I saw people that I love tonight. That was what was so much fun, and that's what's making me happy tonight. 312-981-7200 As we wind down, tell me something good. What's making you happy? What's making you smile? And I guess tonight it's the people that I love. I didn't get. You know what though? I had to miss Griffin's choir performance. This is his first choir performance in high school.
Nice.
And
did he record it?
I don't know.
Was it a practice or
no? It was a concert in their auditorium and everything. Hmm. So you know what I didn't realize? I had never bought him a black tie. He has a lot of like bow ties that are a bunch of different colors. He did not own a simple. I think every young man should have a simple black tie for any occasion. Don't you think?
Does he need ties?
Yeah.
I've got lots of ties.
I will take your ties.
But they're not like, what is it, those skinny ties now popular or big ties back?
I don't know. Do you know, Cassara, what's in style? Big ties, small ties, skinny
with the
ties?
Kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Bow ties?
Yeah, bow ties.
I don't have any bow ties.
I got to find, for Christmas, I want to find something where I can display all of Griffin's bow ties because he's a big Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, and I think bow ties are in.
Yeah,
I think I can put aside some. And the next time you come do the podcast, Single Soul,
yes,
you can tell me.
I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm free to do that. You just dropped one yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Oh, that's right. We did Missy Preston, musician who works at Zany's, actually, and she did a great job. It was one of our best ones. It was very eye-opening, fascinating information. She's pansexual, non-binary.
I never know what pansexual means.
Pansexual is like...
everything.
Not polyamorous. Oh, yeah. So straight,
no,
gay, straight, gay, trans. So just love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
And Missy came from my Mormon family. She talks about that.
That'll do it.
It was really good.
I only say that having been raised Mormon and was Mormon until I was 10 years old. So
definitely
you're never doing an interview with me. You don't want to know the stuff.
Yeah.
But so that's Missy Preston and the
Singles Only on iTunes, SoundCloud, everywhere, iHeartRadio, everywhere you can podcast, just put Singles Only or my name and it comes up.
And you're hosting on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's my something good is I'll be here on Thursday night, I think 7 to 10 o'clock.
Excellent.
No, I was going to be with Ryan Dempster from the Cubs, but he can't. We had to do some schedule changing, so
right.
We'll have him
back.
Yeah, it'll be fun,
Fantastic. Cassara, tell me something good.
I have so many good things going on. I think the biggest thing right now is that I am throwing my very first event before the year is up on December 28th.
What?
Yeah, it's an all R&B party. It's called Mission Kissaboo, and it's to help you find a boo to kiss on New Year's.
What?
Yeah,
it's my
very first time throwing my own event.
Mission Kissaboo. Can I Google this?
Yeah, you can Google it. It's on Eventbrite. It's on Facebook.
What
Instagram,
time is it?
Twitter.
Where?
9 p.m. to 2 a.m. at a Lulu Brewery in Pilsen.
That's
it
nice.
Is free to get in. If you give a donation, you will get an official DJ Cash Era glow-in-the-dark wristband.
Hello.
Glow-in-the-dark wristband?
Yeah. That's I have merch out here. I have some merch.
I love this.
Cash is killing it in these streets.
Trying to.
With her merch.
Thank you.
Well, now, it's a good idea because if you get someone, right, if you find someone to kiss for New Year's, right,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're not in the relationship long enough to have to worry about buying a gift.
Exactly.
Either, right?
See? It's perfect.
Cuffing
it's right
season.
After Christmas. That's the whole thing because it's still cuffing season.
We covered this.
Exactly.
I don't know what words you're using.
Cuffing season is just, it's like drafting season. You're just going through a draft.
Prepping for the cuffing season.
Trying to be cuffed in a relationship for the cold winter months.
Patty's not a millennial like you and I, Cass. She doesn't get it.
It's okay. She's married. So she doesn't have to worry about cuffing season.
That's right.
I have been with the same man for 23 years.
Yikes.
I don't think cuffing season existed 23 years ago.
No.
Wow. I was born 23 years ago.
These are things. These are things. Just dawned on me. I'm old enough to be your mother. Is that what you're saying to me? Yes.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And I would never treat you that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't. Cuffing, so that means getting handcuffed to somebody? So you're connected to somebody?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. It's just like you're locked down.
Winter season.
You're taken for the cold winter months.
Mm-hmm.
Patty from the 847, they're asking where the site is for the Democratic panel that you saw tonight or last night.
It's funny because
people are looking for it.
The 38th Ward Democrats on Facebook. The Facebook live video should be up, but I wasn't able to find it either. Let me see if I can pull it up, but it should be available on Facebook if you look for 38th Ward Democrats, was what Representative Martwick had mentioned. Let me look for it right now very quickly and see if I can pull that up for you.
While she's looking for it, I got some questions about Cash's event.
Yes. Yeah.
How are you going to monitor the ratio so there's a good cuffing potential for whether you're a male, female, seeking male,
right?
Whatever.
So what we're going to do is we're probably going to give out wristbands that are just color-coded.
Oh.
So that way it's single, taken, or polyamorous / just ask.
Just ask. That's
right,
a good one.
Because I feel like the moment you say it's complicated, it makes a negative connotation on it.
Keep it positive.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yes.
And then people that don't want to be bothered can just take a thing that says
you can still mingle and meet new people. But if you know you really want to shoot your shot, as the young kids say. Yes. Then you can try to pursue someone that has the single or just ask band.
Is there going to be a DJ at this event?
There are two DJs.
And is one of them you?
One of them is me. I actually got double booked, so I'll be DJing somewhere else for the beginning half of my own event when DJ Scully will be spinning the opening, and then I will take over from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Okay, the 28th.
December 28th, 9 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Pilsen.
Alulu Brewery in Pilsen. Free to get in.
Okay, I found the video.
Perfect. No, I was waiting. I found the video.
So if you go to the 38th Ward Democrats, they have a scroll, like a toolbar, and it says videos. So you have to click on their videos, and then you'll see where I make a mistake, where they were all standing at the tables, and I could have said, ladies and gentlemen, your candidates, and everyone would have given a big round of applause. Instead, I'm like, you guys can sit down.
Very nice. No, it's very personable.
I was just sitting down. They were applauding the whole time you came out here. What do you want me to do?
That's real.
I don't know. I wish I'd done that a little bit differently. It would have been more classy if I had said, ladies and gentlemen. I felt like
ladies and gentlemen, take your seats.
Yeah, I don't know what I said.
Guys, just sit down.
Go ahead and watch the video and watch me figure. I got my pacing. Although Gary McCarthy at one point did turn to me and go, you talk too fast. I go, yeah, everyone says so.